We concluded last week Jesus as our friend with the conclusion, and if you missed last week and you missed the conclusion and you missed the proclamation, go back onto the archives on the website. I think you can find it on the sermon tab. Feel very good about putting all of my messages for the last 10 years on the website. I enjoy going back and listening to myself sometimes, especially when I did the Hurts, Hang-Ups, and Habits. I need to do that refresher course every once in a while. But I digress. I am now back going to follow the lectionary for the rest of the time that I'm here at Bethel, unless the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, chooses to have me do something else. I really do try real hard to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because He is the teacher, He is the leader, and He is the church. Amen? But this week we're going to look at John chapter 10, and my message is entitled, The Portal. There are portals in this world, or The Gatekeeper. I want to look at the gatekeeper and also focus on some of the things called the portal. We hear a lot about portals anymore in our day and time. And in October of 2024 in Philadelphia, they unveiled a new art installation called The Portable. And the portal stands in the historical City Hall courtyard. And it's called The Bridge to Unite a Planet. And the portal is a 24/7 live stream providing instant interaction and direction and connections to cities and the people all around the world. So today, portals have been installed in Lithuania, in Poland, in Ireland, United Kingdom, Manila, Brazil, and there's more and more and more to come. It's really the newest way for people to connect with each other over thousands of miles. So what are portals anyhow, preacher? Well, portals are essentially gateways, and they connect one place or reality to another. While they sound like something out of Star Trek, portals are all over the scriptures. So within scripture, they represent thresholds between physical and spiritual realms. They symbolize access to God, or vice versa, salvation, relationship, or divine connection. Let me give you some scripture portals. Jacob's ladder, Genesis 28:17. The doors Jesus obviously transgressed as he appeared within locked rooms in his post-resurrection appearances, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. Psalm 24, the ancient doors, the doors of Noah's Ark, Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. The narrow door or the narrow gate of Luke chapter 13, verse 24, and also in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And the gates of righteousness in Psalm 118, verse 19. Yeah, Isaiah's open gate. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 11, the gates of the New Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 21, the Overcomer chapter. I like those gates of the New Jerusalem. And the gatekeeper, entryway to Jesus, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Now, all of these, as well as the scripture that I chose for today in John chapter 10, which Jesus tells his disciples, I am the gateway, teach us an important theological lesson, doesn't it, about what it means to be connected spiritually with God. And as we enter through a portal, it's no mistake that C.S. Lewis, in his famous book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, portrayed the children's entry into the world of Narnia through kind of a portal. The gateway in John chapter 10 describes as the entry to a sheep pen. Now, in ancient Israel and even today in modern Israel, there are still shepherds where they would build enclosures with wood, but then leave a gate opening or unclosed. Instead of a building or an actual wooden gate, the shepherd himself would serve as the gateway, in a role as both protector and keeper. So the shepherd would position himself in the opening, guarding those in the pen from harm, and more importantly, from predators or simply wandering away and becoming lost, you know, like us, lost sheep. But when morning came, he would lead the sheep out of the enclosure into the pasture to feed and to drink. Now, Jesus notes that every honest individual who wanted to be a part of the group or already belonged to the group would enter through the front door. He said only dishonest people would attempt to enter by another way. So all of those who entered did so because they followed the call of his voice. Now, this is intriguing. And it's a description of the power of God's voice and a call to the invitation through the gateway, Yeshua, Jesus. It's a very unique way of describing atonement, the salvation way that God wants us to be in relationship with him. So once we willfully enter into God's kingdom, God will lead us into a place of abundance, of rest and peace, and more importantly, nourishment, physical and spiritual. God will also tell the story of the prodigal son, which reminds us to throw a party for the abundance that Jesus speaks about in this elaborate pastoral metaphor is life and how we can have life more abundantly. So as disciples who enter into God's kingdom, or the sheep pen, God will grant us abundant life. Now I do think the missing part of Jesus' descriptions continues through John chapter 18, describing the difference between the true shepherd and the hired hands. You know, the hired hands, they don't own the sheep. So when trouble comes, hired hands run away, leaving the sheep to be attacked by wolves. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But Jesus makes it clear that he, as the good shepherd, the owner of the sheep, lays down his life for the sheep so that they can be saved. And that through his own rising up, they can be given life. Spiritual renewal, restoration, rest that comes from Christ's sacrifice and redemption. So, the portal, in Jesus' case, is his gateway. It's a kind of a sacrificial entry, which he becomes the sacrificial lamb. You see, Jesus seems to combine his shepherd metaphor with his sheep metaphor, for he is shepherd, he is sheep, and more importantly, he's the gateway. Hallelujah, praise be to God. But around the city of Jerusalem, and really all the cities of ancient Israel, even in the Middle East, always stood a tall stone wall. The wall was fitted with a number of gateways into the city. On the northeastern side of the Pool of Bethesda was a gateway called the Sheep Gate. Now this gate, in which the parade of sacrificial lamb would be brought in for the Passover celebration, the sacrificial lamb, you know, the one designated for the priest to eat, along with all of the others to be sacrificed in the name of the various households, which would guarantee the purification of sin for the next year. Now, once the sheep entered into that gate, they became sacrificial lambs, dedicated to the redemption and the atonement of Israel. Jesus described to his disciples and to us today in a series of metaphors that reveal him to be God's voice who calls us, the gateway or the portal that invites us into a relationship with God, into a new kind of life in abundance. So the sacrificial lamb who sacrifices himself for us, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, despite the many metaphors, who said you can't mix metaphors? Jesus and his invitation and authority is clear. When you follow him, you answer God's call and enter into a relationship with him. When you enter the new kind of spiritual space, what Jesus calls God's kingdom, in which we are protected, we are saved, we are celebrated, we are restored, and we are offered life in such an abundance that we can feel it down to our bones. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul called it the armor of God. Because once we have come into this new place of our life, our spirit has changed. We have changed. As Jesus explained to Nicodemus, you got to be reborn from now on. Some of us may face that same predators in life, but we also know that our heart is protected and guarded from harm. Now, we may see the same winding pathways that spread out before us, but, you know, I love the buts and the ifs, but with Jesus on our side, we know which direction to take. We may come across times of spiritual famine, illness, even doubt. You remember doubting Thomas? Well, it's okay to have doubt, but we love the buts and the ifs. We will feel Jesus' nourishing spiritual energy and sustenance to make it through. So, even as we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, in the words of David, we will not fear. Why? Because he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. That's what the shepherd's staff is. He lays out meals before us. He restores our soul. So it's a tradition that goes back thousands and thousands of years, and you can find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11. Jesus put a place called a mezuzah on their doorways. I have mezuzahs at our house, and it's a relationship which is in Scripture says you shall write them upon the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. It's a wonderful way because in your coming in and you're going out, you're always in the presence of Scripture. So the mezuzah is a mitzvah or a biblical obligation. That's what a mitzvah is. Physically, it's just a small scroll holder containing handwritten parchment containing the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. It's a promise to honor God first and foremost. And its placement on each doorway ensures that when we walk from one place to another, we carry our promise of God with us. Promise to God and promise to be with God. So, whether the gateways or the doorways or the entryways or the portals, every time we go from one place and pass through it to another, we enter a different place. The whole thing is about this. Keeping God first in our minds, which makes us sure that the portals we enter will remain within the vineyard of God. Jesus' invitation into God's abundant kingdom. It's not just something we do at the time of death. No, it's a promise that we make to be in covenant, to follow God's call in our life, to allow Jesus to lead us and to feed us all the days of our life, physically and spiritually. What a wonderful blessing. And in this, we know for sure. Psalm 23. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope and pray you made that decision to follow the shepherd, Jesus, the true shepherd, and that allows us to be a part of his sheepfold, or more importantly, to be a part of his kingdom. You know, he invites us, and all we got to do is accept the invitation. That kind of sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's just the way it is. Jesus invites us to become part of his kingdom, and he will clean us up and make us as white as wool. No more sin. Enter in Jesus' name. Make that decision. All you got to do is say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. And if you're everything that they say that you are, Lord, I want to be a part of your kingdom. And he will honor that request. Enter in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day on this Heritage Sunday at Bethel. Looking forward to seeing you in person. We're going to be at the pond for Heritage Sunday. You know, 1834 is when this little church started. It's a very appropriate place to be where the church started and to be a part of the sheepfold. We've got a lot of rich history here at Bethel, and we're grateful that you're here. And we also invite others to come to be a part of this little church called Bethel United Methodist Church. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.